El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and of course what the hell else am I saying? I was going to give another number. We only have one number, right?
Yeah, you can say it two ways.
All right, 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL, and you can also say it while stifling a belch, as I just did there. And if you're watching Phil TV in HD, what you see on the screen right now is from our homepage, the Greenskeeper.
That what that guy is?
Yeah, he's a starter. We call him the Greenskeeper. He's the starter. He's the guy that makes the tee times. And he is being featured on this episode of the free Phil Hendry podcast, episode 11. Download it at our website, philhendryshow.com. And there's the banner right there. That is our, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, there's Phil Hendry Radio and the new podcast. So, and also you can visit our shop. There's a banner there for the shop, see? And if you go further down, there's a Bobby Dooley's blog, which she hasn't updated in forever, but well, whatever. And then there's a little reminder there that on the 4th of July, the best of Ted Bell, as picked by our BSPs, available for download. But in the meantime, go visit the Greenskeeper with episode 11 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. Just hit that podcast banner there on our homepage and download the snot out of it, if you'll pardon the expression. All right. Welcome back. This is our News and Information Hour with Bud and with Robert. So you got that thing straightened out?
There, call back from David Hall.
Who's calling back?
The Harvey Weinman and the little kid.
Harvey Weinman and that punk kid? What are they calling back on my show for?
Harvey Weinman felt like that kid need to talk good to him and not be laughing at him.
What is it with Harvey that he's all obsessed?
I don't know. Just, the kid was all dissing America and stuff.
Harvey's one of the most liberal guys I know. He's like an ex, what do you call it, guys? AFL-CIO. What the hell am I trying to say? ACLU. He's an ex-ACLU guy, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, he still don't. That doesn't matter, man. He's a real patriotic guy.
He's really pissed at that kid. All right, so if what has David got to do with it?
David want to make sure that we got it on the air because he don't want to have no bad blood on account of the terrorism.
Are you kidding me? Is he that stupid? You're serious?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? It was a guy from Egypt and his son on account of terrorism. Guy's no more a terrorist than I am, okay?
Well,
what's that supposed to mean? I got news for you, man. Don't joke around. All right. I'm going to take a look at our news here this hour. Just what's happening, man. You know, they've got some wildfires out west. We won't belabor the point. We're just hoping that everybody is safe. And we also... Just a tip of the pith helmet, the Citizens Auxiliary Police pith helmet, if you will. Maybe Jay Sanos will make an appearance here in this hour to the great firefighters in our western states, all over the country, who go out and deal with these terrible fires year in, year out. And you see them if you live in a fire region where you see the firefighters battling these. You see the firefighters themselves. You see them in the trucks as they come down the hill from the blaze. They're tired. Their faces are just covered with soot. They're covered in sweat. All they want is, a shower, maybe a cold beer.
Woman.
Maybe a woman. You shut up. And these are things that, so please do support your local fire department.
Yeah, but also, they already got tax money, too, so.
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about tax money, but I'm just support them. That's all. Just, support them. All right.
How do you do that?
You can just go out and say thank you very much. You can go to their base. You know how fire departments always have open houses? Just when you see a firefighter saying thanks a lot, it doesn't take a lot, okay? Don't turn it into a big deal. All right. So that's rough, man, and we hope. Now, I don't know whether we're going to have here in California with the extent of the fires, but, if you don't have a wet winter, as they say, man, stuff can happen that ain't exactly good. Now, I also saw something here, and ordinarily I wouldn't be talking about this kind of heaviosity, but it is Syria, and there is a thing here I saw, and Syria is, I don't know what their problem is, other than the fact that they're stuck in the 16th century mentally, but that's not such a big deal, is it? I can understand if you're just sort of stupid and you treat your people, your own citizens, as if they're nothing more than it's nothing more than target practice. Certainly, I get it if your mindset is that of the Sultan of the 16th century. But this is the 21st century, and there are democratic movements afoot There are all kinds of democratic countries where people actually vote for the guy that leads them. What a nutty thing, huh?
Not nuts to me.
It's crazy, man. It's just goofy. So you might want to try that one on for size there, Syria. No. No spiritual leader, none of that stuff. I know they're doing that in Iran. No. You actually let the people choose, and then, you know, they've got to live with it. And what happens is, after a few elections, they choose the guy, and then they turn around and pretend like they didn't do it. It was somebody else's fault. So it's fantastic. It's a great system, and we've had it here in America for, you know, over 200 years. And as much as people bitch about it and complain about it and think that America's just all so terrible and everything, you know, blah, 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 we're doing just fine. Thank you very much. So you guys might want to try that there in Syria. Otherwise, you may have to contend with forces bigger than yourselves. Now, here's the thing that I thought was very interesting. I was talking to the very brilliant Joel Berliner. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned his name because he has a lot of...
Oh, my God. Man, I've got a lot of liberal friends, man.
Yeah, he probably knows people that are producers and stuff.
All right, never mind. Forget I said the name. I was talking to a guy, and it was at the birthday party the other night, at Allison Reynolds' birthday party, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. So I said, so what do you think there in Syria? Because he's a really smart guy. He said, I'll tell you what's going to happen, man. Turkey is going to put the pressure on, man, because Turkey wants to get in nice and sweet and tight with NATO. Turkey, not only does Turkey want to be a real player in NATO, Turkey wants to be a European power. Now, there's not too many people that think of Turkey as a European country. Most of us think of Turkey as an Asian country. But Turkey believes itself and has viewed itself to be, over the years, alternating times, very much a European country. And they also have a Muslim society, a society like our Judeo-Christian society. They have a Muslim society or Islamic society that is secular, meaning they don't have any imam and spiritual heavyweights and all that stuff. You know, it's like any regular country, democratic country, whereby you have, there is a religious tradition, but a secular government. And right now, NATO is telling Turkey, it's all good. It's your baby. Syria's right down there. You guys have got a badass army. You got a pretty decent air force, although you did get two of your planes shot down by Syria. So what's that about? That's kind of an embarrassment, but nonetheless. So buoyed by support from its NATO allies, Turkey escalated its warnings against Syria.
Why they call it that 402?
Yeah.
The what?
Why do they call it that?
Why they call it Turkey?
It's got nothing to do with Turkey, okay? The food, it's got...
Doesn't have the bird?
It doesn't have anything to do with the bird. It's some language thing, man. It's like when you remember the other day you said, how come they named the Silver Dome after... Remember you said they named that town after a car?
What?
Remember when you said, why did they name Pontiac after a car?
Yeah.
They didn't, man. That's a guy. Pontiac was a guy. It was an Indian guy. Okay? Jesus.
They named a car after the Indian guy.
Yes. They didn't name the city after the car. Let's name our town Chevrolet.
What's that mean? What's Chevrolet?
I don't know, man, but it's not... So anyway, buoyed by support from its NATO allies, Turkey escalated its warnings against Syria on Tuesday, even as some American and allied officials privately raised questions about whether the Turkish warplane shot down by Syrian air defenses, provoking the denunciation, had been on a spy mission. In response to the downing, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey warned Syrian forces to stay clear of their troubled border or face a military response to any perceived threat. Mr. Erdogan's bellicose tone came as ambassadors from the Atlantic Alliance, seeking to avoid a wider conflict, held emergency talks in Brussels at Turkey's behest. After the meeting, the NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen. Sounds like a football player. Fogh Rasmussen said the alliance considered Syria's actions in shooting down the Turkish warplane to be unacceptable, baby, while the American and allied officials emphasized that some intelligence reports flowing in since the downing last Friday were murky and often conflicting. They said a preliminary analysis of the available data suggested that there may have been more to the aircraft's mission than just a routine training session to test Turkey's air defenses.
What's that mean?
Well, Jay, if it's a spy plane, generally it's considered fair game. It's like, oh, all bets are off, man. You were spying on our asses. You know.
But I like the Pueblo.
That's a very good example. That's not an airplane, but the Pueblo was a ship that the North Koreans said was straying into their territorial waters. This was a United States ship. And this happened, I think, in 1969, 1970. And the Pueblo claimed, no, we were nowhere near Korean waters. But the fact of the matter is, it was just loaded with spy equipment. I mean, this ship, the Pueblo, was a spy ship. And so the U.S. didn't have a whole lot of sort of buoy itself and back itself up. You know, most of the countries of the world were saying, well, you know, you guys got hung out to dry. Now, the thing that sort of turned the Pueblo incident, because this is the story I was telling you, Robert, that you thought was cool.
Yeah, I love this story, man. They flipped them off and everything.
All right, hold on. Let's take a break, and I'll come back to the story, and we'll do more about Turkey, and we'll just be really seriously foreign affairs intensive. And do we have Harvey coming up?
Yeah, Dad, and Jay Santos heard you mention his name, and he called in. Do you want to know if you want to talk to him?
Not really, no. I don't want to talk to him, but now that he's called. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
you
don't want to talk to is you. Our
don't
bitch.
Tell him that, man.
The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. The News and Information Hour here with Bud Dickman and, of course, Robert Leonard. And also we have on the line with us here from the South Bay tonight in Southern California is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You are on a sub-commander patrol. Is that what it is?
Well, it's not exactly called sub-commander patrol, Phil. We are doing door-to-door. And
what is that again?
We're doing door-to-door. Make sure you're going door-to-door.
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 I'm talking about door-to-door.
Oh, door-to-door. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and making sure that a lot of our elderly people and a lot of people that are shut-ins, make sure their door is locked. If we're able to go in at that particular point, then we do have to inform the person inside. And if they're bedridden, or they're a shut-in and they see me come in, it can be very embarrassing. And that's why we always tell our elderly
people.
Yeah, the elderly people, we try and tell them, as we try to tell everybody, to lock your door at night. But the best way to test whether our seniors are secure, Phil, is going door-to-door and to, you know, open the door. And I guess if we can go in, then that's a whole other level. And we do call that level B.
Yeah. Well, what is level B? Let me ask some, Jay. You've got all these terms. I don't understand them.
I apologize, Phil. I realize it's a little bit out of your experience. But level B is simply if we're going door-to-door and we...
When you're door-to-door, is that it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
God, see this guy?
I'm sorry. I apologize, Jay. I'm trying to get to some other stuff here.
Well, don't let me interfere. I just, you know, I thought I'd call in because I did hear you talking about, you know, Siri and all that.
Okay, but no, but I'm interested. You're going door to door and...
No, forget it.
Oh, God, what a baby, man.
Well, you're all, like, yelling at him.
Dude, are you kidding me? I can't understand the guy. He says I'm going door to door. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was tough to understand.
I understood it.
Well, that's okay, bud. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to yell at the guy, but I wanted to just get to it. You know?
Well, he's busy anyway. He's doing door-to-door, and then he's going to go.
You know how to say door-to-door, don't you?
Yeah.
Then why don't you say that?
Because it's called door-to-door.
It's called what?
It's called door-to-door, even though it means door-to-door.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to tell you.
You know, I
what do you give me that look for?
I'm giving you the look, man, because you're speaking more of that Martian talk again. You know what I told you about speaking Martian talk, didn't you? Know?
What do you mean Martian talk?
I don't know what that means. It's called door-to-door, even though it's door-to-door.
Yes, he goes door-to-door with a sub-commander, then they see if the door is unlocked. And it's called Door Door.
Really? And who named that? Jar Jar Binks? You know?
Jar Jar Binks. That's a good one, man.
That's not that funny.
I don't care if it's funny or not. I mean, it's baby talk is what it is.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, that's what everybody said it's called because that's the way Jay talked.
That's the way you talk, too, bud, by the way. You talk like you're an infant, you know?
What do you mean?
That's the way Jay talk. Okay.
Well, I also think Jay takes after Newton.
Yeah, he takes after Commander Newton.
There ain't no Commander Newton. It's Major Elvis Newton, okay?
All right. God, man, it's like I'm supposed to know the guy's rank.
The guy's rank. God, that's funny. All right.
Well, what is it?
It's Major Elvis Newton, but you're right. Bud was right. You know, like I'm being nitpicky. All right, getting back here to Turkey. NATO would like Turkey to invade Syria, kick ass, take over the whole thing, tell that clown, whatever his name is, Assad Jr., to, pack his underwear and his jock strap and come with us because we've got a nice, cushy cement cell for you with four other guys. And you don't know any of them, even though you had a hand in putting them in prison. How do you like that, sir?
Yeah, see that movie Midnight Express? Those Turks, man, they'll, you know.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know if that's fair necessarily these days. Back in those days, maybe. Anyway, so maybe Turkey had a spy plane. Who knows? But the NATO is telling Turkey, you know, let's put some muscle on the border. Let's scare the hell out of these Syrians. The last thing Syria needs, man, is having to deal with what's happening inside their country, and then the external threat of a country invading because they frankly see it as a security problem. And this has been the traditional right of a lot of countries. When all hell breaks loose in a bordering nation, like if all hell was breaking loose in Mexico to the point where our borders were not secure any longer, then you better believe there'd be, you know, you'd see U.S. military intervention. Now, we got into this thing about the Pueblo. I don't know how we got into this, but anyway. Oh, spy planes, because Turkey had the spy planes. The Pueblo was a spy ship that the United States Navy was operating off the coast of North Korea. It had spy equipment. It was, I think, the story was given when the ship was taken over by the North Koreans. It was literally stopped dead in the water. The sailors on board were taken prisoner. And the North Koreans found an array of spy equipment. And Lloyd Bucher, who was the captain of the ship, later acknowledged that he felt like a failure, that he let a valuable piece of military equipment fall into the hands of the Koreans. But anyway, the most notable thing about this whole Pueblo incident was these sailors, were kept prisoner by the North Koreans for a long period. It was almost like a year, I think. And during their incarceration there in North Korea, there were attempts to find out how they were doing, you know. And this was the Cold War, and the communists played by a different ball game, and we played by our different ball game. And it was, you know, sometimes they didn't see things the way we saw things, and it was difficult to figure out what the hell was going on. And we had all these sailors over there, and how are they doing? We don't know. The North Koreans are saying fine, but how do we really know? Meanwhile, the sailors are having their experience. They had been beaten up pretty good. Bucher got his ass kicked by the North Koreans as they interrogated these guys. Now comes the day where the international community led by the United States, we really want to know how our sailors are. Now let's go. We want to find out the state of their health. So the North Koreans lined up these American sailors for a portrait, a picture. And there must have been, I don't know, 20 guys. And they're all in the picture, and they're all smiling. And they are all, to the man, flipping the bird. They got their middle finger extended. They're doing that to say, it sucks. The way we're being treated sucks. And they were able to get away with it because the North Koreans did not know what that meant. According to the teleplay that was, and I think according to maybe some of the debriefing, the sailors had, one of the guys had flipped off a North Korean guard who asked him, what did that mean? To which he responded, it's Hawaiian for good luck. So here came this photograph that went around the world on the wires of the American sailors, the Pueblo sailors, and they were flipping off the camera. And were they doing well? No, they were not. The North Koreans wanted us to think they were, but in point of fact, they were being beaten, tortured, and they let the world know that by way of this middle finger. I'll tell you what happened to them after the North Koreans found out what the middle finger really means when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I bet you they got their ass kicked.
That's not too far off. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And on Phil TV and HD, we've split-screened the picture here of the North Korean, of the captured crew of the USS Pueblo. I don't know if you guys can see it. I apologize if it's not big enough, but...
What are you talking about?
The picture.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, I slipped that one in.
Hey, bud, let me do the double entendre around here, okay? In any event, slipped it in. So... there is the picture of the USS Pueblo crew, part of the crew. That's not the entire crew, because I don't think Captain Booker is there. But you can see very clearly the front four men extending the middle finger, flipping the bird. And I don't, and I think this gentleman, one of the guys on the right side there, has his hand draped. Maybe he's got a cigarette there. But it's very clear that the four front men have their fingers out, flipping it off. And basically what they're saying is, hey, you know, we're being mistreated. We're being maltreated. The caption here to the photograph, which is from the period, reads, "The North Koreans are having a hard time proving to the world that the captured crewmen of the USS Pueblo are a contrite and cooperative lot. Last week, Pyongyang's flocks tried again and lost to the U.S. Navy. In this class reunion picture, three of the crewmen have managed to use the medium for a message. Furtively getting off the U.S. hand signal of obscene derisiveness and contempt," meaning the middle finger.
Do you say they get their butt kicked?
After the North Koreans found out what that meant, they didn't know what it meant. Well, after they found out what it meant, then these guys got beat up some more, you know, tortured, smacked around, whatever the hell they did. And there's no doubt they knew it was going to happen, you know.
Yeah, they did it anyway.
Well, I mean, what happened was this. Once that came out, you know, we're being mistreated, you know, we're flipping off the camera to say, you know, F you, North Korea. Then the pressure was really on from the United States at that point. And really the message was this: you have our ship, you have the spy ship, you don't need these men, we want these men back. You know?
Yeah, but they could say, yeah, we're going to put these guys on trial.
Yeah, they could say that. And the U.S. was saying to North Korea in increasingly more strident ways, no, you're not going to put them on trial. You have the spy ship. You have the spy equipment. You have millions of dollars worth of our technology. You caught us dead to rights. Okay, yeah, sure. We want our sailors back, and we're not going to have you. There's not going to be any trial. So,
what would you guys? Were they going to blow them up or something?
I think that was the message. I think the message now was: there's no reason for you to be holding these guys. If you don't let these men go, then there's going to be a military reprisal against North Korea. That's probably the closest we ever came to attacking North Korea over this thing. So, since the Korean War. So anyway. Make a long story short, Korea exacted from us some kind of a jive-ass promise like, we will never again, befoul the territorial waters of North Korea with our nasty, Yankee, counter-revolutionary, fascist stuff. So we said, yeah, okay, we won't ever do it again, and we got the sailors back. But it was a long time, and I remember that story because of that was the most notable thing, is the finger thing, you know?
That the only time any guy's ever flipped the finger on the news?
Is that the only time a guy's flipped the finger on the news? No, it isn't, bud. People have flipped the finger a lot.
What are you talking about, man? What a stupid thing to say.
Why?
Well, a lot of guys flip the finger.
Like who? You can't name one guy.
I remember a guy flipping the finger in the Vietnam protest, and another guy was flipping the finger in the civil... Yeah, a lot of guys have. Get out of here, bud.
I can't think of any time.
Well, then maybe you need to do some more reading. All right, speaking of reading, I have my reading glasses on. Here is the story of the hour, in my opinion. Not really, but you know I'm down to 247.
Yeah, quit rubbing it in, man.
Oh, well, listen to you, huh?
Yeah, you're getting jealous.
No, I'm not. I like to go home, and I like to have a nice, you know, nice piece of pizza or something like that, or a calzone. And all I hear about your diet.
A calzone? God, man, that's really unhealthy to have before bedtime.
Oh, yeah, you say that now, man.
Well, yeah, I'm saying it now. I've learned something, you know? Isn't that what we do? We live and we learn?
Ha ha. Now, you can't eat nothing fattening, because Phil will tell you all about it.
Why don't you shut up, man? Someday I figure, I'll tell you one thing, your head's going to get fat, because I'm going to pop you. I can't.
Take it easy.
Yeah, pop me and make my lip fat.
Hold on. All I'm trying to say, Robert, you can have whatever you want to eat, but a calzone, man, I mean, that's a lot of calories to throw into the system before you go to bed because, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, I like them.
All right, fine. You like them. Great. And it isn't like someday I will be eating like a normal human being again, but until that time.
Until that day. Don't sing that song, man.
Sorry. All right. U.S. Task Force recommends obesity screening counseling for obese patients. Well, now, how about that? You might know that you could stand to lose a few pounds to boost your health, but do you know if you are obese? The U.S. Preventative Service Task Force has issued two new recommendations that advise health professionals to keep better tabs on their patients' weights. The panel of medical experts who advised the government on treatment guidelines said that primary care physicians should screen their adult patients for obesity, which is a person who has a body mass index of 30 or more. In comparison, a normal BMI is under 25.
What's a BM?
Yeah, they talk about a BM.
Shut up.
Ow.
But don't be a child.
They're talking about a BM.
BMI. Boy, you guys, there isn't anything you guys take that isn't, you don't turn it into a total children's hour, man. I'm telling you. Well, that's nice that we have a call, but I'm not taking any calls right now.
That kid Todd.
Yes, Todd. How you doing, man?
Bill, it's Rush. I'm sorry. Todd wanted me to call you because we listen to your program. And we had the comment that you made about this body mass index, right? Don't say that one. Todd said BMI. BM.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Okay.
I'm going to kill that kid of yours.
How dare you? He's my son.
Shut up.
What are you going to kill him for?
Same reason I'm going to kill you. In any event, the BMI, which is the body mass index of 30 or more, what does that represent? What does that number mean? I don't know. However, a normal BMI is under 25. Anything in between the two numbers is considered overweight. But if you're over 30, Jack, you're fat. You are technically an FA. You are FFU. That's fat, effed, and ugly. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, obesity is a very serious health problem in the United States, said Dr. David Grossman as people nodded off at the Group Health Research Institute seminar. Dr. Grossman went on to say, yes, I said obesity is a very serious health problem. As crickets sounded throughout the auditorium, he pointed out that in the past 30 years, obesity rates have dramatically increased. And then he farted. All right, take it easy. Well, yeah, I'm screwing around.
Man, you ought to read that straight, man. That's very important news.
Oh, well, look who wants me to be all serious now. In any event, the good news is that it's even a modest weight loss can reduce health risks for people who are obese. I wonder if I was obese. I bet you I was.
How much did you weigh?
I weighed 306 pounds at one point. I can't believe. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm not 6'1". I'm not 5'11". I'm not 6'1¼". I'm 6 foot, man. All right? Both vertically and horizontally. I'm joking. Anyway, so I was 306 pounds.
Man, you're a human bowling ball, man.
Yeah, just like a medicine ball.
So I, you know, considering that I was 306, I remember I couldn't tie my shoe without having to take a breath. Every fat man thing you could think of, I was dealing with. And for years, man, for years, I don't know, it fluctuated, but I dropped a lot of weight after we left Premier. I dropped a whole lot of weight, And I was actually in pretty good shape for that year. And then, boom, put the weight back on as soon as, you know, I started getting nervous and crazy again.
You're like eating food to try to calm down all the stuff that's going on in your life.
Exactly. That's what you call, you know, anxiety eating, man. You eat and eat and eat because you're just, you're nervous. And then what really did it, though, was keep giving up the cigarettes. Not saying that you shouldn't give up cigarettes, but if you're going to quit smoking, just keep in mind you're going to gain weight. So, and I don't want to tell people, oh, watch your food intake. No, I don't want to do that. You know, it's important to give up cigarettes. And whatever you got to do to substitute for the time being, I guess you're going to do it. I don't want to tell something to people like, you know, not only are you going to give up cigarettes, but you better watch your weight. So don't eat that. Don't. They're not going to give up the cigarettes. So I'll just tell you this. I put on at least 40 pounds, and that weight stayed on me for 2 years, a little over 2 years, until then I had my head together enough to say, okay, now I'm going to lose the weight. There is strong scientific evidence that shows that intensive programs with 12 to 26 sessions in the first year can help manage people's weight. Modest weight loss. If a patient is determined to be obese, the task force recommended is determined to be obese, meaning they're not determined. It means that they have determined that you are obese.
Well, what if they want to be obese?
What do you mean, what if they want to be obese?
That's what they said.
No, they did not say that, and that's why I said what I said. They didn't say that.
They said if they're determined to be obese.
That's not if they're determined to be obese. It's that if the doctor's determined to be obese.
The doctors are obese.
Will you guys listen to what I'm saying? If the doctor's determined that the patient is obese. There, is that better? The task force recommended a comprehensive weight loss and behavior management program with 12 to 26 sessions in the first year. According to the CDC, more than one-third of adults are obese, and no state has met the nation's healthy people No state has met the nation's healthy people 2010 goal of lowering obesity in their state to less than 15%. Not one state has been able to meet the nation's healthy people 2010 goal of lowering obesity in their state to less than 15%. So every single state in the union still has fat asses in it to the tune of over 20%. Really? Of the population or per capita? 20% of the population. Are you ready for that? So we better get on the stick, man, you know, or else it's stroke time, baby. Strokes. You know what a stroke is, right? That's when you get paralyzed one side of your face, you're drooling. They got to strap a drool cup to you. Oh, yeah. In fact, from 2009 to 2010, the number of states in which over 30% of their population was obese rose from 9 to 12. Non-Hispanic blacks have the highest rate of obesity at 44.1% of their population. So it's time to get, you know, it's time to boogie with the canned heat, baby. Get the weight off. We'll be right back with our final segment here of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after this.
Truth message. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
PhilHendryShow.com, too.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And hey, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And Bud, I know that you have if you got Dr. Sadler on the line, we can do this real quick. And I don't know, that's not Dr. Sadler. That is whoever that was. That was Todd and his father. Get Dr. Sadler on the phone. We can do this very, very quickly. And what this is essentially the BMI test. And he has Rudy Canoza on the line as well, right, Bud?
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah.
All right, let's bring both of them up, Dr. Sadler and Rudy Canoza on the line with us from San Diego tonight. And Jim, how are you?
Pretty fair, Phil. Thanks for having us on.
Rudy, how you doing?
Yes, Phil, and having a good time this evening as well. I just had dinner with a good doctor.
And we're looking forward to demonstrating for you the BMI index indicator. And this indicates, in terms of size and in terms of body mass, if there is obesity, if there is if one is overweight, and there is one area, Phil, it's a higher level. You're either overweight, you're obese, Or you are, and this is not a fancy term, you are just gigantic, you know, and...
Gigantic is not in the terms of the cartoon book or something like that.
That's called gigantic, huh?
Yes, it is, Bill, and we're not trying to offend anyone, but as Dr. Sadler has indicated for you, and for me, you have to have a descriptive term.
Yeah, a descriptive term, Phil, is going to help. If you are gargantuan or giganto, anything that enables the patient to realize that they are fat beyond any real decent comprehension. There's a way of comprende, you know, as I said to Rudy, you know, I know comprende fat, you know, but I can certainly comprehend a fat man, but a fat, big fat...
It's difficult.
It's very, very difficult. All right, so what we're going to do is we've got a couple of people here we could start off with, and one of them, of course, Margaret Gray, who was here at the opening of the Chatham Lingerie Line.
Oh, Margaret's there with you, huh?
Yes, yeah. Margaret, come on.
Hi, Phil. I am going to step onto this BMI. Now, I told Dr. Sadler that I was a little bit wary about these kinds of things, almost like it's a lie detector test, if you know what I mean, Phil. Sometimes we want to give them a little bit more credit than we should, and the fact is a lie detector test is not 100%. But I do know that I'm in pretty good shape. This is going to give us an indication of... Don't grab the phone for me. Don't ever grab the phone for me.
I apologize. Are you done?
No, I'm not, but go ahead, but don't ever do that again.
Okay, easy.
I apologize, Miss Gray, I'm sorry.
He grabbed the phone from me, Phil. You can tell him or I can tell him. You know what that means, right?
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. I just needed to move it along.
I was moving it along. I've got a lot more media experience than you. Again, let me say it again. Don't ever grab the phone from me, because it's
Balachi paper, too.
It's Balachi paper.
What is that supposed to mean, Balachi?
Let's not get sidetracked, okay? And just,
All right, Miss Gray, if you would step on the BMI indicator. Now, Phil, before you do, Miss Gray, if there is a BMI obesity or gargantuan, what is called a BGI, which is the basic gargantuan index...
What does that mean, gargantuan? Aren't you trying to just figure out body mass?
Yes, I am, Phil, but there is body mass, there is obesity, there's overweight, and there's gargantuan.
And why such a juvenile term?
If I may.
This is Rudy Hill, because I don't want to deal with that. That's almost insulting. And
I don't mean to insult you, Doctor.
Phil, it's Rudy Canosa. Gargantuan is simply easy to understand, easy to remember. There's nothing to offend, and we are not trying to insult people, but it is a much easier for the average American to comprehend, and that's why.
Okay, Phil. And so, Phil, if you have a body mass that is bordering on or over, steps over the line into, you know, into just cracking cement is really what we're talking about, or the BGI, the gargantua, then it will register an alarm. But if it is normal, then you will just hear the flat line. So I think we're ready, Ms. Gray, if you want to step on here.
And by the way, Phil, I've been working out for years at Jane Fonda's old workout place in Santa Monica. Okay, Phil? Jane Fonda, Phil? Okay? Phil?
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Were you all bored by it? Let me say it again. I've worked out at Jane Fonda's old place. I've also worked out with Jenny Jones. I can name a lot of people that I've worked out with, so let's go and do this. But this is what you're going to hear, the flatline sound, when you step on the scale.
Ms. Gray, just go ahead and step up right onto there.
What the hell is that?
Okay, hold on.
That's not the flat line, is it?
Hold on for a minute. Let me look at the readout. Jesus.
Yeah, that's,
Okay, recalibrate this piece of garbage or something, because...
That was our, that's the gargantuan. That's the gargantuan alert.
You know...
The gargantuan alert? See this? Oh, look at that, a bird.
Oh, yeah. Ow! Oh!
Yeah, right in the nose.
Oh! She hit me in the nose, Phil. She hit me in the nose, Phil.
Why would you do something like that? Why would you hurt the doctor like that?
Why would I hurt the doctor like that? Because the two of you are flim-flam artists. And I can tell you...
Hold on for a minute. Did you trip off the obesity alarm?
Phil, no. It was the gargantua alert. And
what is with you guys in gargantua alert? Why don't you just grow up? If you're dealing with people who have a weight problem, give them something... an indication of something that is well within the... What does that mean, gargantua? And Margaret Gray is not an obese person.
Oh, is that right? Would you want to come down and see? Go ahead, step on the scale again.
All right, I'll step on the scale again. And if I hear this foghorn one more time... Now I'm going to kick your ass. Look at that, a hot air balloon.
Why, I've never seen...
She hit me in the dome, too. And I'm going to try to see it.
All right, anyway, thanks very much. That was a big waste of time. The world-famous Phil Henry Show... is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And, of course, for all of your Phil Henry needs, visit us online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. You get a live streaming video cast of our show each and every night, as well as thousands of hours of archive material. Our podcast is up and going. Episode 11, the free Phil Henry podcast, also available. Hit the banner. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.